This is Talking of Books with Isabel Abuhul, John McDonald, and the rest of the team.
In association with the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature.
Only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
And welcome to our lovely Dubai readers on this very cool, foggy Dubai morning. Welcome to Talking of Books, where you'll be with us for the next 3 hours while we cover all things bookish on the show today. We're going to have a special today. We're going to be talking about an Arab World special because we've got our festival coming up and we're really looking forward to welcoming our Arab writers. So we're going to cover a few books about the region and also cover non-fiction and fiction books this morning. So I'm just going to cover, I think, first of all, a couple of the authors that will be coming and visiting that you can look out for and check the programs out, which are now available on our website, which is www.emiratesairlinesfestivalofliterature.com, and choose which sessions you want to go to. And I can start off by suggesting that you look out for Justin Mazouri, who has written a few books, sort of historical travel writer sort of a field that you might be interested in. Those of you who know his books already, he's written South of Barbary, which is Faces of Exploration, and The Man Who Invented History, Travels with Herodotus, which is actually a really good book. And his latest book, which we'll be covering this morning, is Baghdad, City of Peace, City of Blood, which won the Royal Society's Literature 2015 and the Odanji Prize, and has been praised in The Spectator as a brilliant, evocative and erudite. So that's one author for you to sort of get interested in and look up and find out more about, and we'll be discussing him a little bit later on in the program. We'll also be covering books by Susan Abuhawa, which I think a few of you are quite well familiar with. She's written a lovely, beautiful, evocative, poetic book called The Blue Between the Sky and the Water, which we'll be discussing today. She's also written Morning in Jejun, which is another compelling, passionate read which will move you, no doubt, and we'll be discussing that a little bit later on. I'm welcoming in the studio John McDonald, who's with us today to host the show, and we have got our first guest here this morning as well.
Good morning, Penny.
Good morning.
And as you say, a big lineup today of authors and reviewers and guests, and it's my pleasure to welcome first up today Mahmoud Shamsuddin, an old friend, colleague, collaborator on various books. And Mahmoud specializes in Islamic arts and has over the years produced a really stunning collection of books on various aspects of Islamic art, and has brought several of them with him today to show us. And pity that we are audio only, that you can't see the full richness of the books that Mahmoud has produced. Mahmoud,
good
welcome
morning
to Talking of Books, and good to have you with us today.
Thank you very much, John. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Benny.
Good morning. I want to see some of those books. Let's have a look at some covers.
So this one is a big
this one
coffee
is a
table format. So tell us what it's all about.
It's about an artist, Qatari artist. His name is Yusuf Ahmed. He's one of pioneer artists in GCC, actually. And this book is made because of the exhibition done in Madhaf in Doha about his career. The title was Yusuf Ahmed, The Story of Ingenuity. So, and it's described the moments how he developed his style from the beginning in 1973 when he started his first solo exhibition in Doha. And he was the first one who did a solo exhibition in Doha, till the latest artworks with the third dimension mosaic.
Beautiful multimedia pieces in here. The photographs are absolutely stunning. What's been done with paper and cotton by the looks of it.
Yes.
Thread.
It's intriguing that the medium he uses is date palm fiber. And he makes his own papyrus equivalent from that into cylinders. And then these cylinders are of various lengths and diameters. He uses, as I said, to have this three-dimensional art form. Mahmoud, you can explain that in more detail.
Yes, the artist actually, he is in love with the handmade paper, and he uses it a lot on his early artworks. And because he's searching always about the how to develop his career, you know, then he decided to make his own medium. So he searched a lot, then he find it on his palm tree on top of his head every day, you know. So so he developed the little factory. Actually, he did it in his studio to make the palm tree from the palm tree, from the leaves till the pulp, and then he make it as a paper. Then again, he color it or he make mold from it, some letters, you know. And
I was going to ask about that because it looks like there's an awful lot of Arabic text that's been sort of cut. It's quite textural. You know, his rolls of paper are very smooth.
Yes.
And then the Arabic text that he's got is rougher and sort of more colorful.
Correct. Actually, Yusuf, he is one of pioneers on the literism or hurufiya in Arabic, we call it. He play with the form of the letters and express a lot of meanings, actually, there is in this form. More than just the normal calligraphy or more than just the normal way of the letters. So, but he took it on a contemporary way and expresses on his new style. I wish that we can show the audience the pictures.
Well, I can describe a couple of the pictures because they are absolutely magnificent. If you could imagine sort of neutral tones, including a lot of sort of natural colors, the beiges,
yes,
whites, sort of natural whites, grays, dark grays, blacks, with a sort of a very modern feel, with particularly with the, is it cotton thread that's being used that seems to be running across
some of them it's a cotton, some of them is a metal actually to
okay,
squeeze it very well. Some of them is he's taking this fish net, you know, so it depends about the way the artwork is being developed. So yes, some of the artworks that have a cotton net.
There's beautiful textures here and such huge amount of detail. If you could imagine rolling up, I suppose, something the size of a cigarette in terms of the size of the roll, and then just hundreds of them.
Thousands. It must be the painstaking. It would drive anybody, I think, to demented if you just sat there repeatedly producing.
Well, it's either enormously calming or going to drive you to one of the other.
I suppose if we look at the principle of colouring in books now being so popular, that would hardly relate or equate Yusuf's work to that. But the time, the effort that must go into producing the raw material alone.
Yes, it is actually taking the palm leaf from the situation, what is it, drying it and then smash it and then put it on the machine for a certain time, you know, to be and many stages actually, and cooking the this raw material until
you've got to explain to me more. I'm imagining that it gets pulped and then spread smoothly, so there's a cooking
process.
There is
a certain temperature it should go through, and there is a certain way how he grain it, you know, until it will be able to be a piece of paper, because the palm leaves that have this physical resistance to be all together, you know, and to fit as a piece of paper.
Yeah.
So, and coloring also this paper is also, it's not easy to make it. So that's why it took him a long time and a lot of research actually to reach this level. How to make it from the palm leaf, from the waste on the street, let's see, something that people, they throw it, and to a piece of art.
And the paper that he uses, that he's obviously made himself, is very smooth. It doesn't look like a piece of rough handmade paper. It doesn't look like it's like a craft piece of paper. It looks like a beautifully manufactured piece of paper.
Yes, absolutely.
And I see he's also got quite a few colours that he's put in. He's dyed paper, as you mentioned. Has he told you what he uses to dye?
I've seen what he used to colour the paper. It's a natural pigment. Actually, he's getting it from a different country. From India, he's getting the red. From Turkey, he's getting the blue. From he's looking for the natural pigments to color this paper and to have a durability, not to change during the time. He called himself now as a green artist, you know. So he's not anymore with the oil and the oil colors or artificial mediums, you know. So he is now totally with the natural materials.
And it's very textural, isn't it? I mean, everything is 3D. It's nothing's flat, which is quite magnificent.
Yes, it's a wonderful combination of color, texture, and dimension. But there's the earlier. This is his current mode. But his earlier work was a bit more conventional, but still very, very impressive. That huge panorama of old Doha.
Yeah, Zubara. We call it that Zubara. You can see it in the beginning of the artworks.
Yeah.
It's a right to left. So it is an Arabic style. The book is in Arabic style. The English side is, of course, on the left side. So Zubara, yes, it's a project actually. It took him around 2 years to finish it. The size of the artwork is 200 centimeter height and 600 centimeter width. You can see it here. Yes, in the.
That's the black and white.
Yes, this is the first hall, which is his old days. Where we went through his history about
Mahmoud, time is catching up with us. We have to take a short break, but please stay tuned and we'll hear more about these amazing artworks of Yusuf Ahmed.
From Shakespeare to Tolstoy, Stephen King to Danielle Steele, this is Talking of Books.
In association with the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature.
On Dubai Eye 103.8. Now, back to the team.
Welcome back to Talking of Books and our pre-LitFest Arabic focus today. And our first guest, Mahmoud Shamsuddin, publisher, expert in Islamic arts, producer of most extraordinary books on Islamic arts, and particularly we're looking at today his vast coffee table book and the work of Yusuf Ahmed, a Qatari artist. Who works in multi-dimensional, medium to create the most stunning works. And just before the break, we were looking at his vast production in his more conventional days of the Zubara, which would old Doha.
Yeah,
that extends what 600.
Six meters
wide by what 200 meters high?
200 centimeters.
And
yes.
Where is the original?
The original now it's in Qatar Museum. It's a part of the Qatar Museum collection, and it's located on the Weaponry Museum.
So that's definitely a spot to go and have a gander around just to see that. That's
yes.
A magnificent piece. It's we've got a colour plate which opens out from the book that you can see in the book, which is really rather beautiful. You get a real feel of Arabia back in the day, I think, from that. And you were explaining during the break how the painting came to be, how he developed it.
Yes, he went several times, or many times actually, during the 2 years when he started developing this or making this artwork, you know, so to the place itself, and he studied it as an archaeology way, and he studied a lot about the history of Az-Zubara, because Az-Zubara, it was the trade center of Qatar in 1780 till 1850. Before it's been destroyed with several wars there during the Ottoman period. So he studied it and he put all his feelings, because he is from Al Jasra neighborhood, you know. So he lives on the same houses. So he knows very well How it looks like the walls and the neighbors, the width of the street, you know, and you can feel now when you see the artwork, there is a lot of emotions in the artwork.
I remember right in the story, as a wee boy, he would steal, he'd take bits of coal or charcoal out of the fire,
yeah,
and scribble on the walls.
Oh, I bet he was popular at home.
Anybody at home, if your children are that way inclined, maybe don't discourage them as you see the kind of work that Yusuf Ahmed developed into.
One of the interesting information about Yusuf Ahmed and his passion about art, you know, he was always doing his exhibitions in the corridor of his house, and he's inviting the kids of the neighborhood, you know, so to see his artwork and discuss about it.
Oh, even when he was younger, he
was
doing that.
Even when he was young, you know, so, and that's why when he grown a little bit more, you know, and he came back from Cairo, because he studied in Cairo the fine art, he made the first ever solo exhibition in Qatar. He is the first guy in 1973, actually, where a little bit Doha, it was just a little calm town.
With a beautiful blue sea.
Well, to win a copy of this magnificent book, Story of Ingenuity, the Life and Work of Yusuf Ahmed, all you have to tell us, which Gulf country does he come from? Is he from Qatar, Kuwait, Bahrain? Text us in 4001, and you'll be, get it right, you'll be in the running to win a copy of this. It really is. How many pages, Mahmoud?
It's a 216 page.
And the format looks, what, about
50, 30? 30 by 30 square. Mm. Because most of his artwork is a square artwork, you know. Or it is 180 by 180, or it is 120 by 120, most of it, of course.
So he's following, you know, sort of good structured principles.
That must weigh a kilo or more, each book.
It is more than that. It's about
two
kilos.
Well, you'll notice how very quickly I put it down on the table rather than holding it. It requires a lot of attention. It is a heavy book, and the cover is beautiful. It's textured again as well.
I tried actually when I chose the material for this book, you know, I tried to get the most nearest material to his own paper. So this is the paper what I chose. It's it's an expensive actually paper to get this texture paper, but it's a match with his original paper.
So the production, you'd been working this for a year or 2 years, from design concept to
execution. Took us 1 year. Yes.
A year
to finish this work, you know, because the process, it's to make an art book, it's an art process. You need to be very careful when you photograph the artworks to get exactly to express exactly the quality of this artwork. It's not an enormous.
So you this is all your own. I know you did the graphic design and layout of the book.
Yeah.
And the photography as well.
Yes, photography. Ah. And also I've been with the printing.
And print supervision.
Yeah, supervision day by day, sheet by sheet.
And this was printed Bahrain, I think.
No, we printed here in Dubai.
In Dubai.
Actually, yes, in Dubai. The previous book we printed in Bahrain. Mm. Yeah.
So
it's not a matter of print press. It's a matter of the way how you control the process. That's why I'm there with the print press from the day we start the production till the date we just pack it and put it on the pickup.
And what was the print run?
The print run, it was 1,000 copies.
1,000 copies, wow.
Yeah.
So that's quite a prize that we're giving away today.
Yes.
One in 1,000, indeed.
Yes, it is a limited edition book. Unfortunately, it's not possible. It wasn't possible to produce more of this book. But yes, it is a limited edition, and this is one of 1,000.
It's absolutely beautiful, okay. And obviously a labor of love for you.
And then you have another one there that is even even bigger and even more exclusive in a beautiful slipcase. And this is?
It's about the Fatimid woodwork. And it's one of very difficult projects what I went through, you know. So to do this this project, we went to Egypt, and I spent around 20 days there to photograph all these pieces on its place. So around the trip to Egypt, it was 9,500 kilometers, because we went from north to south, and from far east of Egypt, you know, to the far east of west. So
what is the significance of Fatimid woodwork?
Fatimid woodwork, it's one of the major major steps in Islamic arts, and showing the how rich it's been that period to the to produce this kind of artworks. So how they translate the ethics of the Islamic rules into designs, and how they make the leaves and the patterns, and how they develop it according to the rule of Islam that days. Because, you know, Islam, it have some restriction about the figures. So how they transform from the figure way when it
yes,
was...
Yes, so no graven images.
No, yes, no direct images for the figure. And how it's interplay with the other art, which is the Coptic art, or the Christian art before Islam, how it's been transformed from that period to the from that stage to the Islamic way, until the Ayyubid period after the Fatimi.
Well, I see Penny again.
Oh, no, I'm in love. I'm having the most marvellous time. Yeah. I can't talk to anybody now.
Totally absorbed in
Well, I just keep... I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, wood in the sort of climate that you would have been taking all these pictures in, how well... How does it survive? How is it preserved?
The weather of Egypt is not is a little bit stable, you know. So it's not too much hot, not too much cold. So that's why the wood survived during the 1,000 years and kept the details of these art pieces.
And there is amazing detail. I mean, is there a lot of these pieces still surviving? I'm not talking about newer pieces, but some of these pieces are obviously very old.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm sad to say that, because in 2012, many of these pieces, it was in the Islamic Art Museum in Cairo. It's being destroyed with a blast, what it was there, you know. So we hope that they can restore it in
Well, time for a break. But stay with us and we'll hear more from Mahmoud Shamsuddin and his magnificent art books.
From Shakespeare to Tolstoy, Stephen King to Danielle Steele, this is Talking of Books.
In association with the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature.
On Dubai Eye 103.8. Now, back to the team.
Welcome back to Talking of Books, and welcome to our next guest today, Hend Saeed, who will be telling us about... not quite as exotic as Mahmoud's Islamic arts books, at Baghdad by Justin Marozzi. That was a book of the week a few weeks ago, but well worth hearing about again. But meantime, let's get back to Mahmoud, and you're equally taken with the appeal, the attraction, the sheer beauty and craftsmanship of Mahmoud's productions.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I'm also in love with the Islamic art and everything old in the history. And as you said, we're talking about Baghdad, the Book of Baghdad, which also talk about the architects and art in the old Baghdad when it started. What it caught my eyes is Yemen here in one of his books, the Islamic art book, which I'm in love with Yemen architects, and I love with the old Yemen. I lived in Yemen for 1 year, and it was the most fascinating things I see, because it still have the old houses, the old building, while the country was going into development. So that's really what's fascinating.
Yes, it's Islamic Arts Journal you're looking at, but it's specifically on the architect.
On the architect. Like, you go to Bab al-Yamen as if you're walking into history, you know, because if you went there, it's just like history is taking you back to...
First time I went there, you know, I felt myself that I moved back in the time. because it's still the history living in 2015.
It's wonderful to feel as though you're walking where people have walked for, you know, centuries, and that whole feel and texture of something that is so old. Yeah. It is rather beautiful.
And it is the same, you know, the buildings, the people wear the same clothes, and it's exactly as you said, like walking into the history, and that's what's really fascinating about Yemen in particular.
Well, the sad commonality we have here. Just before the break, Mahmoud was telling us how much of this Fatimid artwork of centuries old got destroyed in the
blast in 2012, actually. And I wish that there is a lot of work to restore these pieces, you know. Not only the Fatimid, actually the Museum of Islamic Art in Cairo, it has 100,000 of pieces, of beautiful pieces from Islamic art, through the Fatimid, the Mamluki, Ayyubid period, you know, all of that. We hope that really very soon to be back to operations, you know, and to
but
restore these
pieces.
But it's
fair to say that this book has captured the photographs that were taken at the time, that you took at the time, that otherwise we'd have, that would have
it's,
been...
It's eight months before.
So we now have a definitive record of that work that otherwise would have been lost forever.
Yes, and fortunately, I am in, passion in details, so I photograph each piece, you know, from top to down, and piece by piece, part by part. So, and some of the pieces, it's the first time ever it's been photographed and published in a book.
Did you do this on your own? Did you not have somebody helping you with the cataloging?
The process, it should be controlled. It's like that you are doing an artwork. You know, you cannot get people to interfere with the process. So that's why I make careful about all details of the book from the minute I read the script, you know, and I understand the script and discuss it with the author, to the minute I print it and try to control the colors, even the colors, you know. I cannot keep it for the machine operator.
And you've chosen a very, the second book that you've showed us, you've chosen a very difficult medium to print on, because black is it's an unkind color when it comes to publishing and printing, isn't it?
So correct.
And the colors are beautiful. They're absolutely stunning. That you can almost feel the 3D-ness of the engraving.
Who commissioned that one, Fatimid?
The Fatimid book, it's between Qatar Museum and the author herself, Mrs. Fatima Al-Sulaiti. So they approached me and they asked me to do this book. They seen the quality, how I developed the books on, and they've been looking for a result like this, result what we have in our hand. And regarding the colors, and you almost touch it. Yes, this is the feelings what I want to people to feel when they see open this books. You know, I want them to feel it. I want them to almost touching it. So that this is my mission. I believe when I am in front of this kind of artwork, marvelous artwork. You know, I need to be very careful how to transform it, or how to put it on a paper and put it with the feeling, not only just an image. So it's beyond an image. It's the way how to control it and understand how it's been made. So to give the value of this pieces on the paper, and of course to see the original is the optimum moment always.
But again, the overlap with Baghdad, as Justin Lotzi's book. Yes, the destruction of so many artworks of antiquities, the museums that were either looted or destroyed.
Exactly. It's the same thing.
Horrifying.
The Iraqi museum was like, you know, bombed, stolen, and all that. And I don't think we have a really re-record on what is there in the museum. Like small things. I visited the museum like long time ago when they had fully opened it, the big museum. It was amazing. Work from the Assyrian, Abbasian, all those time to recent time, but now it's all scattered all around the world.
But I just can't believe the total indifference that the Americans showed to secure that.
Yes,
and
exactly.
They just either their own people or whoever, their loot, plunder, and pillage.
Yes.
And so much of that stuff now finding its way onto the black market to private collectors who will happily pay.
And also that's for the palaces and the houses. I mean, yes, we are against of some people, but we have to keep this as part of the history of the country, you know, destroying everything, the houses, palaces, all these buildings, has the bridges, which is, I mean, the suspended bridges when was hit by the American. Actually, I cried that night, really cried, because it's also has a lot of meaning for the people. It's not just a bridge to go from one place to another.
So well, Marozzi's book, it's so brilliant, and the scope, the timescale alone from the earliest days of Baghdad up to the present day.
Yeah, and you can see how it's also mentioned in the book, how things keep repeating itself, you know, from that. Baghdad goes to the top, you know, with everything in it to sec.
I just find that with, I mean, most of the books that we're reading sort of today, this repetitive history that just goes on and on. We never learn.
I don't know if we never learned or if it's just like, it's the fate of this city. It's happening. It's a different way it's happened, but it's definitely, it's, you see that it's a repeating of the history by itself. Like in the Abbasi time, it went to the top with all like the new like poetry, writing and medicine and everything.
Mm,
and
education of Dar al-Hikma.
Dar al-Hikma and all of these things, and then went down. And like the literature cafe, the Shabinder, which was very famous and then was hit 2007 also. And they destroyed all that because it was the place all literature people, like writers, poets, go together. And then also was bombed in 2007 by the American or whoever, like, you know, that time. And now they come back to life again. So it's on
a regeneration.
Yeah.
But there is always something lost, isn't there? When something is destroyed, there's always something lost. Yeah. And I think to rebuild is always harder.
One of the biggest loss of the antiquity about Iraq is the Hatra city. The Hatra city is, they destroy it totally. And in the Hatra city, there is a lot about the emergence of the Arabic alphabet. So there is here in Islamic Art Journal and a research for the Dr. Yusuf Dhannoun. He's Iraqi also. He spent around 15 years to prove his theory about the Hatra alphabet and its forms of the Hatra alphabet, how it is very similar to Arabic letters what we have now. So unfortunately, this city totally is being destroyed, and with all this evidence, what we have it in that place.
And of course, your own home city in Syria.
Yeah, Aleppo.
That's where the first alphabet, the first Sumerian alphabet, if I remember, wasn't that from?
From Ugarit. Thank God
Near Aleppo.
Near Aleppo. Mm. It's on Latakia side. It's on the seaside. But in Aleppo, there is a lot of history of the about Islamic art, you know, through the from the beginning of the Islam, you know, 1430 years till today, but it's most of it, it's been destroyed. Most of it is been demolished.
If I remember right, you studied fine art and Islamic art at Aleppo.
Aleppo, yeah. Yes. Fatih Muhammad Center, and I continue for the fine art college in Damascus. Yes. So, and I'm a calligrapher, actually.
Oh, yes, that's
I study calligraphy very well.
If Isabel will be listening, it's remember that on her birthday a few months ago, Mahmoud produced a beautiful calligraphic birthday card for Isabel.
Unfortunately, our history, pieces we are losing it from our hands, and the other side is we don't have a proper documents about it. There is a lot of lack of proper documents, like what's done on the Islamic on the Fatimid woodwork. I feel that I've been lucky to save some of these images that to transfer the truth about this work. Some of them now we will not see it anymore.
But that must apply to so many. I couldn't even guess how many books you've produced over the years on various aspects
about
of Islamic
Iraq,
art.
About Iraq also, I produced a book in 2003. I call it Ya Iraq. So it's about the pioneer of art like Jawad Salim, Naziha Salim, the contemporary art or the emergence of the art in Iraq. Most of that pieces also... we don't know where is it.
No, it's but at least you captured it very well,
and it's been because I'm working on a scientific way. It's not just go to the artwork and take a picture. No, there is a scientific process to capture an artwork, to make sure about the colors, to make sure about to capture the surface, and to get that feeling from that artwork to the image. Yes, in 2003, I produced a book, very big book also about the Iraqi art, you know, from the early days, which is 1850 almost, to up to 1970s. This is the pioneers' era. So, yeah.
And do you capture the stories, like the pre-Islamic and the other ones? Do you have the stories behind these buildings, or what happened in that era, like the Fatimi one? I mean, I didn't look the book, but
yeah.
Do you have the history with it?
Like yes, of course. The Fatimi, there is a full section. The Fatimi book is a four sections. It's mm-hmm. talking about the first section is about the history. How is the Fatimi? They launched in Egypt, you know, who they are, mm-hmm. What they believe in, and how they developed, how they ruled, yeah. What's their weakness, what is their strength, and all of that, and how they been fall down. And the second part it about the, but of course we've been focusing on the artistic side, how it's been transformed, because in Fatimid era there is no restriction about the artists how to express their work. So they kept the Coptic artists to do their own style and mm-hmm. keep continue. Mm-hmm. So how it interfere between Islamic and so that's why there is many examples where Islamic artists they've been crafts a door for a church, and this is what we see also in Sina in Atur Saint Catherine Cathedral there. If you go there, you will see something amazing. It's about between the religions, how they've been talking to each other. You will see in the cathedral a mosque inside mm-hmm. the cathedral. Mm-hmm. So there is because it's a tour area. It's not for Muslims only or for Christians or for Jewish. It's for everyone, you know, to go there. So many Muslims, they are going there to visit, yes. and they need to pray. So how open the manners, you know, and so they build a mosque inside the cathedral, and there is a picture of about the member of that mosque inside yes. the cathedral. Yeah, so
amazing, yeah.
It's talking yes, it about is. It's there is no problems between the religions.
Yeah.
We could recreate that. But meantime, it's break time again. Stay with us as we'll go into the final segment of this today's. The first hour of today's program on the Arabic aspects of the Literature Festival.
From Agatha Christie to Jeffrey Archer, we've got it covered. Talking of books.
In association with the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature.
On Dubai Eye 103.8. Now, back to the team.
And welcome back to Talking of Books. And I think time to have a refresher on a quiz question to win a copy of Yusuf Ahmed's book, Story of Ingenuity. And all you have to do is tell us which Gulf country is his home. Is it Qatar? Is it Kuwait? Is it Bahrain? Text us on 4001. Don't forget to add your name. And while we're at it, Hen Saeed is telling us about Justin Marozzi's Baghdad, wonderful book. Tell us what country. Baghdad is the capital of which country? So, not too difficult to win a copy of Justin Marozzi's book, Baghdad. So, Hen, tell us more about this. And we've been overlapping on Mahmoud's art and the destruction of so much art in Baghdad. But The Marazzi-Sturi, as you touched on earlier, just had such a huge canvas.
He actually started from 700 years when the Abbasid empire there until this time, which has taken a really long time in the history of Iraq. But it was an amazing thing. He actually explored in all the information that's going through. And it's just amazing because, I mean, the first time I read a book about Iraq from someone outside, a foreigner, while I studied the history from home, you know. And it's amazing how he described the life and the simple information, starting from building Baghdad, the round city by Mansur. And then, as we mentioned, that it's the amazing thing of Baghdad is its glory. It's started and getting bigger and bigger, and it's a very it's very famous in their like poetry, literature, like traders, and also because of its situation where it's suited in the middle of between the two rivers, that helped a lot. And Mansur was a very very clever Khalifa, I think. As in the book mentioned, how he actually chose a place in that certain place and how he thought about everything. And then what's amazing thing is also when they did the market has like a certain street, and every trade has to be in that street. Like, you know, you cannot sell oranges or fruits in that, you have to be in that street. And it's how they structure it. The structure was there from that time, the 752, I think. And that was an amazing. And then they grow and grow and grow until they fall again, and then rise again, and that's the repetition. That's the repetition happening. One thing he said, which is I agree, that is how the Iraqi people endure that and how they take it and they start again, and this is also one thing which was another Iraqi philosopher was Aril Wardi. He mentioned that because of the community of Baghdad in particular, we have a different kind of people like Muslim, Christians, Yazidi or Ashurian, and all different that helped to build this special things about Baghdad, because it has a different kind of people in it. And that's, I think, given the strength, given the different the development in like being even that in what amazing things I found in 752 at that time, they have a cookbook. Someone was very famous in that cookbook, and it's like, this is really amazing thing, you know, which is I never heard about this before. So they started from that time, and then we started with the Arabian Night stories, Abu Nawas, the famous poet, and then the Khawarizmi, which is like helped in discovering a lot of things. So it's all those great scientists and writers, poets came from that. And the sad thing is what we see today, that came to that. The book is
but
a very...
But if history tells us anything from reading the book, is that it's going to regenerate.
It's going to regenerate.
You know, in 500 years' time, what will Baghdad be? You know, it will be a totally different animal.
But the sad thing in the book, he actually asks someone, and he thinks that it's not going to come back. That's what they think now. It's what's happening now is not going to come back.
I don't think that, because if you read the history well, then you will discover it will come back.
Yes.
But yes, the ages of civilization, let's say Baghdad or that Abbasid era, it's longer than the human age.
Yes.
You know? So that's why maybe some people now they think it will not come
it's
back.
Come
but
yeah, we're
it
not
will.
Talking
yeah.
generations. Yeah, we're talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. The
so
city
no
will
hope,
last. We might not, but the city
no hope
will.
For me to see it.
No, probably not. But it's what I like. I read a couple of reviews of the book where they were talking about the city of Baghdad almost as a person.
Yes.
And that was really...
And a she.
Yeah.
And a she also. And yeah. that's a beautiful... And I think we also talk about it as a she. I mean, people who lived in Baghdad, they love it for some reason or another. I mean, it's the city that you love. It's the city that... it's give you because it has, you know, you walk on the river street and you see Shahrazad and Shahrayar, like you know, as you talked about the artists, you know, a lot of work of the artwork is it's all around Baghdad, and some of them are still there, which is hopefully they will stay there, like Jawad Salim, the martyrs. Roundabout, it's still there. Like Muhammad Ghani Hikmat, they have their artwork still there. So it's, you know, you walk into a literature and art city, and this is the love of it. And also he talks about that is a Shahbandar coffee shop, and then Mutanabbi Street, which is from that time, from old time, and it's kept on that Mutanabbi Street where people sell books and secondhand books and books you cannot find them in the bookshops, which I used to buy from there because you're not allowed to buy them from there. And then the coffee shop was very famous because it established by Shahbandar family, and all the poets and writers were meet there. So it was the place, and unfortunately only men go to this cafe at that time, are still there. And it was bombed in 2007. Three of their owners, like the grandchildren, died, and they closed it, but they reopened it. And that's, again, tell you that.
That's
come
a
back
bit
again.
Of regeneration.
I have another example about regeneration. I have a research in 2008 about the symbols in the art, Arab arts in their artwork, from where they are getting it.
Yes.
Because the artist sometimes he didn't study history, but in unconscious way he is drawing something very similar, let's say, to the if we are talking in Egypt to the Pharaoni, if we are talking on the in Iraq to the Sumerian. So from where he is getting it, I had that research, you know, and it's almost been proven it's on his gene. You know, but by his unconscious, you know, he is repeating these symbols, you know, and he is in like with that symbol, you know. He liked to paint that, not to paint another thing, or for the poet to use that words about the places
other
or
places.
About that emotions,
yes.
not about another places. So from where you get it, it's transformed again.
Yes.
It's moving by the inside of.
There's
that.
Also a definite style thing, and not so much with the Baghdad book, but with the Arabic authors, in that their writing is very poetic.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they can't even help breaking into poetry in the middle of sort of prose, which I found really interesting, which I wasn't expecting. I really wasn't.
I think this is all the other things he mentioned, and it's one of the writers that's psychologist person, Ali Al-Wardi, he writes, because Baghdad, Iraqi people also come from Bedouin side. So some of them move to the city, and then the genes, as you said, still have this Bedouin things on them. And that's also, he described the Iraqi personality about being very, like two personalities in one. You know, the Bedouin, the one, it's very like active, angry all the time, and then the civilized one in the city one, and then they still have it in their genes. They have the two in there and them, and that's also tell you about the history and how people developed also there.
And keep surviving also.
Keep surviving,
yeah.
Because of the Bedouin side of it.
Yes.
Yeah, which is amazing. Yeah, I mean, because I love literature and art and all that, so I mainly concentrate on that part of the books. I mean, don't like to talk about killing, which was always there.
Oh,
and
yes,
then that's
another constant.
And there's constant.
In the book, irrespective of the era, the killing is...
it's always there, unfortunately.
Baghdad's history is certainly written in blood.
Yes. And then how he mentioned is the beheading the people, which is since that time the all time until now, it's
but
the
it
same
was
thing
also
it's repeating.
It was also known as the City of Peace.
It was, and this is when the peace came, they nourish, you know, they have all these great things happening, all the writers, literature, scientists, doctors, and then they go back again to killing. And then,
killing, we're getting killed by time here. News upon us, time for the news, top of the hour, but stay with us and we'll be back after the news with more on today's special Talking of Books on the Arabic strand of the Litfest upcoming in a few weeks.